bring you Christian greetings again in the name of Jesus. It's good to see all of you here. Trust you have come back refreshed and open before the Lord and ready to worship. And I appreciated the service, the songs that we sung. Thank you, brother, for leading those. And also the devotional lended itself very well to our discussion this weekend. I've enjoyed being here. I want to express my appreciation to a number of you who have verbally said to me, you're praying for me. I appreciate that very much, and I'm sure there's a lot more of you who are praying as well. The subject that looking at this morning is one that I find particularly difficult, so I seek an interest in your prayers as we move through this. Mending broken relationships. I'd like for you to turn with me, the outstart, to Luke chapter 4. I would like to read the words of Jesus that he says about himself as a backdrop to our discussion this morning. Luke chapter 4, reading a few verses, 16 to 22. Particularly verses 18 and 19 is what I'd like to focus on. But Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and Jesus, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" I love verse 18 and 19. Jesus came. God sent Jesus into the world that he could preach the gospel to the poor. He sent him to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance. So we have healing. We have deliverance to the captives. We have recovering of sight to the blind. And we have setting at liberty those that are bruised. Now I think, okay, this is related to the need for spiritual healing, answering the sin question in our lives. But I think it broadens out beyond that. Okay, so I asked you this question, and I do not know where you are today, each of you. I do not know you. But think in your own minds the relationships that you have, and perhaps you can identify. Perhaps, sadly, you can identify a broken one. One that is broken. There's a relationship you have had with an individual, a brother or a sister or otherwise, and there's something wrong. It's broken. Is it possible for you to have deliverance, recovery, and to be set at liberty, even in that situation? Is God's power strong enough that you can be set at liberty even amidst a broken relationship? Maybe you don't know what I'm getting at. Okay, our subject is mending broken relationships. There are some relationships that may never be mended. As in two parties coming together and again enjoying a fulfilling relationship, there are some relationships that we may have that are broken that may never in this life come together to be just like they were before. But my burden of this message this morning in mending broken relationships is this: that personally we take issue with our hearts, again, our lives, and that we can come to a place, even amidst the broken relationship, that we can come to a place of rest and release in our heart before God, that we can live a fulfilling life even amidst that broken relationship. But our subject is mending them. So let's move on and let's look at this just a little further. Our relationship with God is so important. But do you know, brothers and sisters, our relationship with God, and as I pondered this, and this is some of the difficult things that I grappled with as I studied this topic. So, the answering the call to follow God requires that we are surrendering to a higher authority in our life. And at times, there are times in life where that obedience to God may cause a relationship, because we're following God, may cause someone else to choose to not want to associate with us because of our walk. And it becomes difficult to relate to them. However, we want to look at this subject and understand that in those situations, there is a right way to live. That in our walk, we can be free before God. Mending. What does mending mean? Ladies, you know what mending is. You do it very much so as you mend clothes. But mending is to improve and restore to good health. That's our desire in our relationships. The broken ones, to improve them and restore them back to good health. By virtue of this, meaning we are discussing something that is unhealthy. A broken relationship is unhealthy. It is broken. It is shattered. You drop a fluorescent light bulb as you're putting it up into the light fixture, and you drop it. It's broken. It shatters in a lot of pieces. That's broken. And you know, we face situations in church life and family life as we're living together. We face situations, we face stress and strain as we relate together. And there is a negative pull. The devil wants to see anything beautiful destroyed. That's his goal. If he can destroy it, if he can get into our hearts And I'm going to look in just a few moments here at attitudes of the heart that lead to broken relationships. You heard it said that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, or something like that. I want to look at just a little bit at attitudes of the heart that lead to broken relationships. Let's work on our hearts that we can, by the grace of God, head off some of the broken relationships. But let's just think of a few hypothetical situations, and these are possibly extreme. But you know, sadly to say, they do happen at times. Let's think of just a few. 20 years ago, they were married. They enjoyed many happy years together. She enjoyed getting up in the morning, his wife, seeing her husband off to work, and she thought he was enjoying the relationship as well. But she just found out that her husband has been seeing another woman. What shall she do? Two church brothers decide to get together for a breakfast meeting. Brother A noticed that there seemed to be a strain in their relationship, and he desired to make amends and to find out what is wrong. In the course of the conversation, Brother B very emphatically states that he has been hurt by something that Brother A said and doesn't think that their relationship will ever be the same again. What shall Brother A do? Two families have been going to church together for many years. As time goes on, there begins to be a shift in the thinking patterns of some in leadership. Sides begin to form, and in the course of time, the two families find themselves on different sides of the conflict. Whenever they get together, conversation seems to gravitate toward the subject of church issues. Since both of them cannot see eye to eye, they begin to resent getting together, and a wall begins to form. What shall they do? Now, I know these are maybe extreme, but you know what? They do happen. They do happen. The list could go on and on. You know, I think of home life. I think of the little child that is begging for daddy's attention or mother's attention, but who is not heard and listened to, and time is not given. And as the little child grows into adolescence, teenage years, and the relationship turns bitter. Oh, God help us to do our part in mending broken relationships. Attitudes of the heart that lead to broken relationships. There are so many of them, but I'm just going to name a few. These are ones that the Lord has laid on my heart. And I think that these are very essential if there's any mending going to take place in the broken relationships that I have. And the process, I'll say again, must work in my heart first. And I must allow God to work in the other individual's life. But I need to deal with my own heart and the attitudes that I have. Proverbs 29 and verse 22. Okay, number one, attitudes of the heart that lead to broken relationships. Number one is anger. Number one is anger. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirreth up strife. Now, if you can just listen to these scriptures. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a ferocious man aboundeth in transgression. An angry man stirs up strife. Proverbs 14:17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Proverbs 22:24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a ferocious man thou shalt not go. We say, brother, we do not have angry men in our brotherhoods. I hope we don't. But maybe we do. Number two, pride. pride. Proverbs 13:10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. A proud heart stirs up strife. We're talking about mending broken relationships, yes. But I want to talk about attitudes of the heart that lead to them. And I believe that before mending will take place, we need to deal with these attitudes in our own heart before mending will take place. We are responsible for our lives before God. Number three, contention. What is contention? Contention is this. It is an eagerness to get into a quarrel. An eagerness to get into a quarrel. I have lived long enough to know that in my own heart, as I related together with people, that, and you maybe don't see things quite eye to eye, and I know what it's like to deal with that feeling in my heart when I see that individual and maybe they challenge me about something or not, but just that feeling of, I'm ready for you. Just go for it. I'm ready. And we should not be eager to get into a quarrel, okay? That's contention. There is this thing of discussing things with an open mind and humility and love, yes. But I'm talking about the wrong attitude. Proverbs 26:21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. In other words, it's another log on the fire. Proverbs 18:19, a brother offended is harder to be won. Okay, we're talking about mending brother relationships. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Proverbs 17:14, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore, leave off contention before it be meddled with. The Johnstown flood, and many of you have visited there, maybe? The Johnstown flood started by a small leak in the dam. It grew bigger and bigger till all at once the dam burst. Number four, tale-bearing. Tale-bearing, someone who is quick to gossip. Proverbs 18:8, the words of a tale-bearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Proverbs 20:19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Brethren and sisters, if you want to mend your broken relationship and do your part, stop talebearing. Stop talking about things that you think maybe you know and maybe you don't, but if you say it, it adds something and lifts you up. Stop the talebearing. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Number five, hatred. We say, oh no, be it far from us that we would hate anyone. But Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. No, this scripture is not teaching that love would just simply look over sin that is wrong and just cover it up and not do anything. I do not believe that that's what the scripture teaches when we compare scripture with scripture. But I believe this does teach that love covereth all sins. I believe that this teaches that when a brother or sister and I'm conversing with them and they say something, that I could take it very judgmental and I could allow it to hurt me because of the way I choose to take what they said. Okay? And I could allow it to choose to hurt me. Love covers all sins when love says, you know what? I know that's not what they meant, I'm sure. And I'm going to forgive. And furthermore, if that is what they meant, God help me to just forgive them and just live my life. Those situations happened. It happened to me this morning. But I knew that what the person said, they did not mean it the way they said it. And don't try to think of who it was, please. It's fine. But you know what I mean? Those things happen. We are so good at predetermining what someone else's motive is, and we form our opinion by it. We must be very, very careful. He that hateth his brother, 1 John 2:11, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Proverbs 14:21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Now let's look next at Christian responses in broken relationships. I wanted to look at those foundations, or those attitudes of the heart, first of all. Now looking at Christian responses in broken relationships, what can I do to help to mend a broken relationship? Number one, I must be willing to evaluate my heart's intentions. I must be willing to evaluate my heart's intentions. Psalm 139, 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I have experienced in my life the discomfort of strained relationships at times. Maybe at work, you know, something just really bugs you, just really gets on you. Someone did something and it just really bugs you. But I also know what it's like to evaluate my own heart and decide, you know what? The reason it's bugging me is simply because I'm too proud. Maybe I said something in response to what the person said to me, or what we need to be willing to evaluate our heart's intentions. And when the Spirit speaks to our heart and says, you know what? That's not right what you're doing here. We need to be willing to take issue with that in our own heart. I will seek counsel. Okay, so how do we do that? How do we evaluate our heart's intentions? Okay, pray fervently for God to show you your heart's intentions. And also, I will seek counsel with an honest friend. You have a relationship that's strained. Can I go to an honest friend, someone who I know will speak the truth to me? And oh, we like to go to the people who we know will say what we want them to say. But maybe we should, if there are those individuals, maybe we should go to a couple different ones. And just be willing to evaluate, be willing to open ourselves up. 1 Samuel 20, verses 1 and 2, David did that. He opened himself up to Jonathan. He says, what have I done? What is my iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? What did I do? And Jonathan talked with him. Number two, I must be approachable. I must be approachable. You know, when relationships become broken, you know, it starts with a small thing, but it tends to get bigger and bigger. And after a while, it gets to the place where communication is cut off. There is no communication and there's a stone wall. That's a broken relationship. So when the brother comes to you, or the sister, or whoever, comes to you and says, can we talk? What do you say? I must be approachable. It takes time to mend broken relationships. It takes time. The Bible tells us of Nabal that he was a man that was unapproachable. He was a hard man. In the story of Nabal, he was unapproachable. James 3, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. And we're to be wise people, by the way. We're not to be fools. The Bible in Proverbs talks about wisdom. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's the wisdom from above. Today, many relationships lie broken because individuals are not willing to listen to the voice of God and also the voice of others that speak into their lives. Maybe a good check for us is to ask someone, as you're living your life, ask someone who will tell you the truth, how you are to deal with, how do you relate to people? Ask someone how you make them feel when they are around you. Do they feel like people will need a walk? Do they feel like they have to walk on eggshells? They don't want to say the wrong thing. Do they fear that if the wrong thing is said, that you're going to blow your top and it's going to be a big deal? Maybe we should ask. Open ourselves up. An essential ingredient to conflict resolution is a willingness to listen, a willingness to hear. We'll look at that more this afternoon. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Number three, I must take the initiative to go and seek reconciliation. When both parties say, I'll be willing to talk when he comes first, they will remain in that position. A car that is in neutral will remain in neutral until put in reverse or drive. Take the initiative. Matthew 5:23, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come offer thy gift. Reconciliation involves honesty. We must be honest with ourselves, and we must be honest with the other individual. Going to a brother and seeking reconciliation does not automatically heal or guarantee that the relationship will be restored. But what it does guarantee is that you have cleared yourself before God and them. Honesty, I think, is huge in mending relationships, to be honest with how we feel. And we must allow other people to be honest with how they feel. Number four, I must exercise biblical forgiveness. And here's what I was talking about earlier at the outstart of the message. It is possible to forgive, and yet the relationship still be broken. Forgiveness is founded in the forgiveness of God. Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Philippians 2:13, for it is God that worketh, which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is of God that works in us. Ephesians 5:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Denial is not forgiveness. We can choose to deny and push it under and no, it doesn't hurt me. Or denial is not forgiveness. Blocking the hurt that has been done to us and refusing to think about it will only deepen the pain. You cannot forgive what you're unwilling to face. You cannot forgive what you're unwilling to face. Quote by John Koblenz again in his book of Getting Along with People God's Way. We must be willing to face these things. In Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35, we have the account of the... Well, turn with me, if you can. Turn with me to Matthew 18. We'll bring this to a close in just a few moments. But I want to notice what the Bible says in this story. Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35, is the story of the servant who owed a lot of money. It was a lot. Verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. We should forgive, just forgive. Therefore is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. A lot of money. And this man couldn't pay. And verse 26, the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Verse 27, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. The story goes on to say what this servant did. There was another servant he had who owed him just a small amount of money. Very, not much at all. And this servant could not pay him. And in verse 30, verse 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And we know what happened. He received judgment for that. When we are unwilling to forgive someone who has hurt us, I say this is essential in mending broken relationships is forgiveness. When we are unwilling to forgive, it is like throwing the servant in the dungeon. And you know what? You feed that servant. You get up with that servant in the dungeon. You go to bed with that servant in the dungeon. The servant is in the dungeon. And you are in bondage to the servant in the dungeon. Well, I believe this scripture teaches of Jesus' forgiveness and how he has forgave us so much. And then in turn, we sometimes just really hold captive individuals who have done us wrong. Forgive. Would you be okay today if God would forgive you your sins the way you are forgiving your brothers and sisters? Would you be okay if God's forgiveness was dependent upon that? You know what? That's what the Bible says it is. The Bible says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Number five, relationships in the mending process require faith and trust. In order for trust to be able to take root, barriers need to come down. And I know yesterday we talked about barriers. But there are barriers in mending that need to come down. Barriers are lines of resistance. End of quote. Barriers are lines of resistance. And you say someone, okay, so think of Ananias. When he was told to go and talk to Saul, he said, in my own words, wait a minute. This is the man that is persecuting the Christians. Lord, I have heard many things of this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. Verse 15 of Acts 9, the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name among the Gentiles. Ananias had to have trust and faith. He needed to be willing to go beyond the barrier that was there, the line of resistance. Say, I will go. Barriers are intended to keep traffic out of certain areas. And when we're going to mend and build relationships, mend relationships that are broken, we need to be willing to remove the barriers in our lives and be willing to have faith and trust. And God can do wonderful things. God can do wonderful things with parties who are willing to say, you know what? I am just going to lay it down. I am going to just simply dismiss the charges. I'm going to lay it down. I am going to go the extra mile. And I'm going to forgive. And I'm talking about being open with each other, mending. It is a beautiful thing when Brother A can walk up to Brother B and say, you know what? Let's talk. And they can leave that talk, and there has been a new relationship established deeper than before. It is a beautiful thing. And with God, all things are possible. Romans 12, verse 17. And let's bring this to a close. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. May God add his blessing. May we do our part to mend the relationship that is broken in our lives. God bless you.